fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here, our second hour on Wednesday, the 4th day of July. I need to get my engineer the telephone number for Jeff Nyquist here. So let me do that real quick here. And we'll see if we can get Jeff on board with us. We always look forward to his comments. They're always very interesting, very productive. Okay. And there we go. Okay. I'll do a segue here. Proper tip of the day, by the way, is to take a moment to reflect on our country, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, which was signed today, the 4th day of July, 1776, where we 13 colonies of England declared our independence from England, and that began, of course, the American Revolution. As far as the shooting part, that began. Yeah, the revolution had been going on for quite a few years before then. So, that's your proper tip of the day. Just take some time to reflect on all those things. A theme that I talk about a lot, and I will continue to, is the clear and present danger posed by electromagnetic pulse. It is a clear and present danger. Do we have enemies? Yes, we have enemies. Even in the absence of enemies, it's good to know that at some point in the future, a coronal mass ejection, which will have the same effect of shutting down the national power grid, it's inevitable that one will hit planet Earth. That is inevitable. So study up on it, read it, educate yourself, and move forward to put necessary plans in place to deal with it. Looks like we have patient way in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff is a gentleman who began a quest more than 20 years ago to understand and educate himself on the true nature of the true threat posed by international communism to the West, to the United States, and to each and every one of us. He's written books about this matter. He's written quite a few articles on this matter. He has a great website. It's jrnyquist.com. That deals with this matter, and it's what we're going to talk about this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Did you think you're going to have the day off today, sir?
Well, yes. The 4th of July.
Silly you. Yeah. It's a national holiday, but we're working, you and I. Well, the people at Fox News can work today, so can we.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's just an hour, and I don't know if you heard my prepper tip of the day, Jeff, but let's begin our conversation. My prepper tip of the day is to ask people to reflect on the meaning of the day, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which was signed on the 4th day of July, 1776, and then that began the shooting war with the most powerful army on the planet at the time, the British Army, which we eventually won that war and won our independence, although there's some speculation about the behind-the-scenes manipulation of our finances by powerful banking interests in England. But for the most part, we do have an independent, free country, don't we, sir?
Yes. Well, we're not controlled by the King of England, and we're not controlled by any other power, at least not overtly. We have, the communists who are an international movement. They control countries around the world, and they, I got part one of my series out over the weekend. I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not.
Not yet. Not yet. Well, I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a brief history of the deep state, part one. So
I see that. This is commentary for 7 July. Well, this is only the 4th. And it says click here to read the article.
I kept changing it to 2nd of July, but evidently I don't know what's wrong with the thing.
Uh-huh.
But that's so odd. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it's
Well, here's something to encourage people to read the article. The following is a brief history of the deep state. This history is built on facts and sources used in Diana West's book, American Betrayal. Material has been added from other sources as well. So this is at Jeff's website, jrnyquist.com. That's jrnyquist.com. There is a link from my website on my links page at thelibertyman.com. And I want to encourage people to read not only this article, but read all of Jeff's articles, which are archived there, going back quite a few years, aren't they, Jeff?
Yeah, well, I've got archives also at WorldNet Daily and Financial Sense and Sierra Times going back, oh gosh, it's got to be 20 years now, almost.
I think it was WorldNet Daily is where I first came across your work. That's been about 14 years ago. And you had a weekly column you were writing at that time, weren't you, sir?
I wrote twice a week for WorldNet Daily.
Twice a week. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot, and when I read your first article, I was hooked, and I thought, man, this is a guy who knows what he's talking about, and I've been a student of yours ever since, and I encourage people to become a student of J.R. Nyquist, Jeff Nyquist, because you do your homework, you do your analysis, and you come to the, in my opinion, correct conclusions. Jeff, if I was king, if I was president, I would have you in a high-level position within one of our intelligence agencies doing analysis for our government. That's what I would do if I was able to do so, sir, if you would accept the appointment.
Yeah, I like doing that kind of work. I enjoy it. That's why I do what I do.
It's obvious you enjoy it. From the tone of your writing, it's obvious you enjoy it. It's also obvious that you're good at it. One of the reasons I did not pursue a career in military intelligence or the CIA, either one, was because I'd done it long enough. After 3 years, I was able to determine to my own satisfaction that if I did stay with military intelligence, or if I'd got my very own cubicle at Langley, Virginia, that I would spend a 20-year-plus career doing great work, great analysis, and writing great reports that nobody would pay attention to.
So, nobody would read, yeah.
Yeah, and if they were read, they wouldn't pay heed. And we've seen this over and over when in our country where the people who know what's going on, and I can point to the Tet Offensive as an example, Jeff, I was there January 1968. I was a corporal in military intelligence. There wasn't, the only thing lower than me in military intelligence was a wastebasket. And I knew by the end of September 1967 that there was going to be a major offensive during the Chinese New Year celebration of Tet at the end of January 1968. And I warned my buddies, the guys I worked with, and so forth. Some of them paid heed, most didn't. But the Army knew this. I was part of the Army. The Army knew this, and the Army did nothing to prepare for it, nothing of any consequence, nothing I was aware of. So that was my heads up very early in my career, Jeff, that the guys who knew what were going on weren't paid attention to. And has that been your experience also?
Well, yeah, that's sort of part of our society. When you have communists infiltrating your government, it doesn't mean that they're going to be a wastebasket. They're going, and there might be a corporal that's a communist, but generally they are climbers, and the communists help each other climb into positions. One communist who testified, who turned against communism back in the 50s, she testified that with two infiltrators you could take over an office. And it's an interesting claim, but they have techniques. And once you do that, if somebody there figures out that there's going to be a Tet Offensive, you can make sure that that never gets processed within the organization. And it's one of the reasons for the intelligence failures of the CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and other organizations over the years. We have failed again and again, and it's because, look, if you go to my article on my website, one of the first things I cite is the Bridgman, Michigan raid in 1922, in which it was the Michigan Constabulary, there were federal law enforcement there too. They raided a communist summer camp where they were training communists in Michigan. And they had two barrels full of documents. Those documents were not only telling them how to take over churches and school boards, but how to infiltrate the government and the U.S. Army. So in the early 1920s, the communists had targeted the U.S. Army as a place to infiltrate. And this is going to be one of my themes, one of my shocking themes of this series, that it's not just in the government. It's in the military as well. And it really affected us. And it affected us. And I believe that tens of thousands of Americans died in World War II because you had high-level generals who were communist agents in the war.
Well, this may help explain some things. Colonel David Hackworth, one of my personal heroes, he's now deceased. He was an officer in the U.S. Army, and he got assigned to go to Vietnam. He was at the Pentagon at the time. He went to the Pentagon Library, and he found they had two books in the Pentagon Library that would be somewhat helpful for men who wanted to know about Vietnam for whatever reason, Indochina and Vietnam. Only two books. And at the time, this course would have been in the early 1960s, they still had that system where you, at all libraries were using back then, where they had a piece of paper inside the cover to write down when the book was due back, so you could do that. And so you had a written record. And he wrote in his book titled About Face, one of my favorite books, that these two books had only been checked out twice by all the people in the Pentagon. So that was his heads up that we didn't have a clue what we were doing, because in the central command and control of the U.S. military, the Pentagon Library, these two books about Indochina and Vietnam had only been checked out twice. And when
well,
I,
yeah.
Yeah. So when I read that, I thought, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. No wonder we didn't know what the hell we were doing in Vietnam, because we were clueless. We simply, how could you know if you don't read any books about what's going on about the country and the culture, culture and the people?
You made one of the most important discoveries that I also made when I was in graduate school. I got interested in, when I was in graduate school, I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to work for the Pentagon or the CIA as an analyst. And I scored very high on the graduate records exam on analytical ability. And I have, as you said, I have a talent for it. I enjoyed doing it. And that was sort of my reason for getting a PhD, for wanting to be a political scientist. And I was encouraged to do this by people who saw my talent. And I became interested in nuclear war, nuclear warfare. And this was in the 1980s, during the Cold War. And I read the books. I read the Soviet literature. I read the American literature. I read everything I could get my hands on. And when I started talking to people, they hadn't read anything. They knew about the books, but they hadn't read them. And they didn't understand what they were talking about was wrong. And it was wrong in ways that were hard for me to account for. And so it was very interesting. And that is a discovery you made, is that many people claim to have knowledge. They claim to understand things, but they haven't done their homework. And that includes people with PhDs, which was the big stunning shock to me, is that people whose profession was, as you say, in the Pentagon, they didn't read the books. They didn't know what they were talking about, to where, and you talk about the Vietnam War, I was in a graduate seminar with two professors, two PhDs in political scientists, talking about the Vietnam War, and they started talking about how it was this peasant revolt and how the people overthrew the government in Saigon in 1975, and I was dumbfounded, and I said, don't you know it was T-34s and Soviet tank destroyers rolling down the center street of Saigon. It was an invasion. You know, these were North Vietnamese divisions coming from a different country invading.
That's right. They came down Highway 1.
And I said, and they looked at me and said, oh no, you've bought into some kind of American military industrial complex propaganda.
And who was telling you this, Jeff?
Yeah, there were three other PhD candidates. One was from South Korea, but they were all Marxists. And they all believed this nonsense. None of them. And then I pointed to books, and they said, oh, no, those are just, you know, those are just imperialist histories. Those aren't, you know, and I was like, I don't believe these people. It's crazy. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Maybe I told you this story. I think I did tell you the story. I was in another seminar, and this guy had just gotten his PhD. He was working for the RAND Corporation, and he was talking about how the communist guerrilla movements in Colombia were not in any way connected with Cuba or the Soviet Union. And, of course, I'd done a little bit of reading about Colombia, about those groups, but I didn't know, you know, I'd read more general histories and stuff, and I, just on common sense, I said, let me understand this right. You can't find any evidence of this. So what makes you think that just because you're not seeing the evidence, it isn't true that the Cubans and Russians are? I mean, wouldn't they try to hide that? And I got pulled out of the meeting by a famous political scientist, David Easton, who was the guy singled out in the meeting of the closing of the American mind as the number one villain in American political science. And he told me, for back in the 60s, he told me to shut up and not get in the way of this guy, because this guy really knew his stuff and I should be quiet. Well, I always wondered about this question. So I met a CIA officer who'd spent 25 years in Colombia at that time in the 80s. And I said, you know, I was in the seminar and I asked him, you know, if this was true. I asked the CIA guy, I said, were the Colombian guerrillas not being, you know, supported by Cuba? And he said, oh, that's very interesting. In that same year you were in graduate school, I was working in Cuba that year, and my wife used to stand in line, you know, because, you know, Cuba's a communist country, and you stand in line for everything. You know, there's a queue for everything.
Right.
And he said, well, my wife used to stand in line in the queue for food with the Colombian guerrillas who were coming for training from Colombia.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we have a lot, you know, we're never going to run out of things to talk about here, Jeff. The insidious nature of communism is such that they continue their work quietly behind the scenes, although they're now becoming more bold. And this woman who was won the Democratic primary in New York City for Congress, she describes herself as, quote-unquote, a Democrat socialist, or socialist Democrat, mm-hmm. one or the other, which is basically a synonym for a communist, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like Mao or Ho Chi Minh describing themselves as nationalists and agrarian reformers, you know, I mean, or Fidel Castro, for that matter. The communists, they know that the label scares people. That they call it the C word. You know, we don't want to scare people by calling ourselves communists. So we'll call ourselves nationalists or agrarian reformers. And you can always tell when a socialist is talking, because they use these terms to describe themselves: progressive, nationalist, reformer.
That's right, they do. Here's our first break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 4th day of July, visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.com. And we'll take your questions, calls, and comments. We're talking about the true threat, and it is a clear and present danger of international communism to Western civilization and to our way of life in the United States. Jeff, your career has gone in directions you never really imagined it would, hasn't it, sir?
Well, yeah. I thought when my career academic career was over, I couldn't imagine, and when the rest of society was completely in denial, which it in part still is, that the communists, you know, they were taking over education, you know, for decades. And by the time I was in graduate school, they were determining careers. They were if you were a graduate student, you couldn't be their enemy. They would destroy your career. And, you know, basically, I couldn't advance. There was no way I could do it. It was impossible. And yeah. Maybe a decade earlier, it would have been possible still. It would have been difficult, but still possible. Basically, when you get there, you know, you think, oh, well, I won't make a, you know, I'm just getting my PhD. I won't make a big deal about what I believe in. Well, by the time I was there more than a year, I had no choice because they were compelling me to join them, and to be silent was to be part of what they were doing. And the day came when I couldn't be silent. I had to tell them, no, I was working for a professor. His name was Mark Petraka, and there were six of us teaching the course. And he said, I want you to make little Marxists out of the freshmen, basically, word for word. And I just said, you know, if you were having them read Mein Kampf instead of Marx, and you were telling us to make little Nazis out of them, I couldn't be more offended, because this ideology, Marxism, has killed more people than Hitler. And it's wrong, and this is an American institution, and we have taken an oath of allegiance to the Constitution, which at that time in the UC system, this was at UC Irvine, you took an oath of allegiance to the Constitution of California and the United States. And I said, we took that oath as teachers because it was administered to me and to all the other teaching assistants and to the professor. And he was violating that oath when he said that. And I called him on it, and my career was over after that. I mean,
how blatant was the end of your career? Was it more subtle, or was it in your face, or somewhere in between?
The first thing that happened is he went I knew this. My academic advisor wasn't supposed to reveal what was said about people at faculty meetings, but he went to a faculty meeting and he said I was a bad teacher, and he basically blackmailed me so that no other faculty in the department would hire me. I was able to hang on for a year because I was very strong in psychology, and I had been a psychology minor as an undergraduate, so I was able to teach the parts of the brain and teach psychology courses to stay there. But in every one of my graduate level courses, I was challenged in ways that other people wouldn't have been. My work was threatened. If I did a work, they would try to tell me that I was, you know, I deserved to get a C or an F. So I had to work extra hard on everything because everything was under attack. So I was able to go until the psychology department got its own graduate student numbers up, and they gave the preferred teaching positions to them. And I couldn't afford to stay because, you know, I had enough money to go a while, but I had to rely on, you know, teaching work to continue.
Right, right. Absolutely. Jeff, hold on. We got a bottom of the hour break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back, everybody.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and a mattress pad 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the fourth day of July. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. If you want to relocate to the Ozarks, if you'd like to be my neighbor, well, get in touch with me. My contact information is at my website. We got a new tile there below the spinning globe. Maybe something we can work out. Also, my website, of course, Energy Cleaners for Sale. We have my July 4th sale is now in effect. Energy cleaners, $25 off retail. Mattress pads, 10% off retail. The sale goes until midnight Monday. If you want to participate, all you got to do is go to my website and place your order. You pay full price when you use my automated system or my order takers on my toll-free order line. I have to manually refund the sale price difference, which I gladly do that. If you're missing a check or money order, make sure it's postmarked before midnight Monday, and just write out the correct dollar amount, $25 off energy cleaner and 10% off the mattress pads. Looking forward to helping a lot of you get energy cleaners that have been waiting and saving up your money to help you folks take care of arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner, so you're risking nothing. My toll-free order line, 24 hours a day, here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website is jrnyquist.com. His most recent article is posted there, ready for you to read. and it's titled A Brief History of the Deep State, Part 1. And I encourage people to read that article and then look forward to reading the second installment. Well, Jeff, before the break, you were telling us how the culture of the university system there in California, controlled by Marxists, basically shut you out of your initial dream career, didn't they, sir?
Yeah, and I'm not alone in experiencing this, and it's much more intense today. As you know, there's many comedians who won't even talk at college campuses, and there's been violence aimed at people who've wanted to speak. So, the communists have gotten stronger, bolder, and more powerful. These are the centers from which they operate, the universities.
Well, I learned many years ago, Jeff, that one of the goals of the communists, and they've pretty much achieved that goal, is to take control of the schools that teach the teachers. When you start out with a small, group, to have the most impact, you concentrate where you're going to have the most effect. So if you can concentrate your limited resources 25, 30, 40 years ago on taking control of the schools that teach the teachers, that within a generation expands dramatically, doesn't it, sir?
Yes, and the part two of my series is going to focus in on teachers. The first hearings were held by the New York State Legislature in 1940 on this subject, and they discovered that the New York City schools and the city colleges had become basically fallen under communist control back in the late 1930s. That was
scary. And we're looking at, we're looking at 80 years ago. It's a generational thing. And these people, these communists, they have a lot of patience, don't they?
Yeah, well, they have a lot of grandiosity. They believe like it's a religion, and they have the salvation of mankind. They are now, instead of relying on Christ, they are they see themselves as in the role of Christ. They're the saviors of the world, in a sense. They're the vanguard of the revolution. And of course, the vanguard is what is the midwife of the revolution. So they're going to make the revolution so that the mankind is brought to its true self, to communism.
That's scary. It's scary that people really can hold those thoughts. In the face of communism failing, every place has been attempted, failing to achieve the goals that they want to achieve, they still hold these thoughts, don't they?
Yes, because it's a religious belief. Think about Christians waiting for the second coming. It's very similar. And think about how patient Christians have been. Of course, this is a spiritual thing, waiting for the return of Christ. But with the communists, again, this is a substitute for real faith. They believe in something that's completely false. They believe that there are historical forces that will inevitably make all of mankind communist, because they believe that the first and original true state of man is to live in a communist society. And that was the basic hunter-gathering society. So they believe that's where we're inevitably going to all belong, in such a society. Only it will be not hunter-gathering, it will be modern communism, an industrial form of communism.
Well, it's a bizarre belief based on flawed, very flawed values and understanding of history and understanding of human nature. One of the most basic flaws is the belief, and of course this happened the first American settlement here, where they attempted pure communism, and they almost starved to death at Jamestown, didn't they?
Yes, it's a very dangerous experiment to try, because communism is basically based on a kind of swindle, and the leaders of the communist movement tend to be the equivalent of con artists. If you know what a sociopath is or a psychopath, or a malignant narcissist. Communist leaders and the communist movement in general was created, led, organized, and brought to its the current state of its power by people of that kind. It's a very surprising thing to discover about it, but it has criminal propensities for a reason, and that is criminals recognize it quite quickly as a kind of game in which they can get advantage of well-meaning people.
That's right.
Who believe in this? Yeah.
That's right. We got some callers on holders stacked up. First, we have John in Arlington, Texas. Good morning, John.
First of all, I just want to say that the American Revolution started April the 19th, 1775, on Lexington Green, outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Hello?
Go ahead. We're listening, John.
And the British had gotten reports of a cache of arms plus a 56-ton siege cannon that was being hidden out in Concord. They were going to seize it, and they hit a tripwire of some militiamen in Lexington, and then they got ambushed. They did destroy the cache of weapons, but they were continuously harassed and by better militia, which made very disciplined hit and run attacks that caused severe losses. It was April 19th, 1775.
Okay. What else, John?
However, I want to let you know psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissists come from? What produces them? What are those types of abnormal psychology people come from? What produces them?
Well, that's a big debate within psychology, but it's generally believed that they are created in terms of sociopaths and malignant narcissists, that it's by some kind of childhood abuse. And by abuse, they mean spoiling the child, that actually spoiling a child is a form of abuse. And that in the case of Karl Marx, if you study his biography, he was a very spoiled child. And his character developed out of that. And so I think if you know, we've all heard the term spoiled child. There are certain features of malignant narcissists and sociopaths that is extremely selfish, extremely self-centered. Other people are just to be used, exist to be used. And there's a kind of solipsism. If you know that word, it means that not just that they believe they're the center of the universe, but in a sense, they believe that other people aren't real, that they themselves are the only real person in the universe. And this is what that produces. And from my studies, I think this is correct. Other forms of abuse can produce personality disorders of this kind, but spoiling is one of them, and I think it features largely.
Fascinating.
What is the relationship? Do you know the role that Ludendorff and the Bolsheviks and Ludendorff and the German General of Staff in World War I played in bringing the Bolsheviks to power in Russia?
Oh yeah, the sealed train. Well, Germany in World War I was fighting a two-fronted war, and they had this idea to cause a revolution in Russia, because in 1905, when Russia was fighting Japan in the Far East during the Russo-Japanese War, there was unrest in Russia, and that became an attempted socialist revolution in Russia. And, of course, the Germans thought if there could be another revolution in Russia, that Russia would drop out of the war and that Germany would have basically collapsed its Eastern Front and be able to commit all of its forces to fighting the Western Allies. And so that opportunity occurred, when the Tsar was overthrown in the what the Russians called the February Revolution. It actually happened in March by our calendar. You had the Kerensky government coming into Russia. And so they decided to send the most virulent form of socialism, and the most virulent socialist who was living in Switzerland at the time was Vladimir Lenin, send him in a train up into Sweden through Finland back to Russia with money that the Germans had arranged to support him to basically cause another revolution to knock Russia out of the war completely. Because even after the revolution, Russia was still fighting on the side of the Allies after the first revolution in 1917. A lot of people don't know there were two revolutions in 1917 in Russia. It was the second one, the October Revolution, which, of course, really happened in November because their calendar, they were still using the old calendar. Put Lenin in power, yeah.
Okay. John, we appreciate your call. We need to move on. We got other callers on hold here. Next, we go to Paul in New Jersey. Good morning, Paul. Is Paul there?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, hello? Go ahead, Paul. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wouldn't be putting too much confidence into this Jewess. Hello?
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no, Diana West is an Ashkenazi Jew, just like Karl Marx is. And she's in with all the neocon think tanks. She thinks 9/11 was done by the Muslims and that somehow Muslims on planes are able to bring down the World Trade Center and World Trade Center 7 building. So this woman is another typical Jew who basically is going to steer Gentiles away from realizing Jewish treachery. You know, we talk about domestic terrorism. Take a look at the Weathermen, the terrorist group that plotted to blow up soldiers at Fort Dix in New Jersey. And go through the names right over at Wikipedia, and you'll find a vastly disproportionate amount of Jews in that domestic terrorist group of the 1960s, early 70s. So she is always going to whitewash the Jewish role in communism. She's going to steer Gentiles into making Muslims the enemy while covering for the crimes of Israel. And so good Americans, for one, should do what George Washington said and steer clear of foreign entanglements, but likewise not have favorite allies. And it's important on the 4th of July today that good Americans who put America first realize that Israel is not our friend and that our country is riddled with Israeli Mossad agents, either actual Mossad agents or volunteering Sayanim, like Diana West, who basically want to trick decent conservatives, and I would argue you two guys are getting tricked by them, into falling for Israel's lies and allowing Israel to use America as their foot soldiers in the Middle East.
Okay. Let's have a response from Jeff here, Paul. Jeff, go ahead.
That's an outrageous slander of Diana West. She doesn't, you know, I've read, you know, both of her books and many of her articles, and I've never read a single one where she is advocating for Israel. I got to be honest with you. She doesn't do that. I've had, you know, I've known her for years. I've had many conversations with her. She's never made any kind of pro-Israeli statement, actually, to me that I can remember. I mean, I know she's Jewish, but she's an American, and she's not all about swindling conservatives. I mean, that's outrageous. It's not
true. Look who she works for.
It's your distorted Nazi view of the world. Have you read anything by her? No, I don't think you have.
Well, I don't want to fund the American Spectator, which really should just be the neocon Spectator run by Irving Kristol, that former communist, remember him? Right? the Trotskyite yeah. who all of a sudden became a Christian, or not a Christian, but a conservative, and tricks the Gentiles into Israeli things. I mean, please.
Well, what does that have to do with her? She's not
even
regarded
know
as a
neoconservative.
Hold on a minute now.
Yeah.
She's not regarded as a neoconservative. If the people who read her, they would never confuse her with a neoconservative.
Well, but what's she writing for the American Spectator? She's getting paid by them, isn't she? She gets
I have
paid
no
by
idea
neocon
if they pay her for the articles.
Oh,
they good do. Grief.
We have
She's
a
on the payroll.
We need to move on.
You're so paranoid and caught up.
We need to move on. We got a break. And, Paul, thank you for your call. We got another caller on hold. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Tara Moore here with Jeff Nyquist on the Wednesday, the 4th day of July. We got a last caller on hold here, Jeff. We got Mike in Arizona. Good morning, Mike.
Yes, good morning, JR. You were speaking earlier about Colonel David Hackworth and his book about face, and when he had checked out these books at the Pentagon, was surprised that the people hadn't read the book, talking right. about the people and the culture of foreign countries. Right. That's a basic in insurgency. I'd like to bring your attention to a couple of things, and these may have been written, one of them was quite a long time ago, but they're still true today. It's the basic template. Has a lot to do with a Major General Edward Lansdale. He had worked in the OSS and the CIA post-World War II in the Philippines and in the Vietnam. He wrote an article in Foreign Affairs in October of 1964. It's titled, Vietnam, Do We Understand Revolution? It was basically a classified document he submitted to the administration. The only part that was lopped off was his recommendation to return his team back to Vietnam to help the South Vietnamese government to defeat the communists. But more recently, there's a book by Max Boot, and it's called The Road Not Taken. It's about a 700-page book. It's all about Lansdale and his exploits in the Philippines with Magsaysay and defeating the Hucks, and all the way up into his several visits back to Vietnam. He's a classic counterinsurgent, and again, it applies just as true to today if we are faced with this communist insurgency that's trying to seize our government and take over. It would behoove the people to become very familiar with the classic tactics of Major General Edward Lansdale. Over to you.
All right. We appreciate the references there. Mike, any follow-up there, Jeff?
No, it's a technical subject, counterinsurgency, and it's also a controversial one. But, yeah, there have been very successful counterinsurgencies against communists in other countries. And it's important to know that some ways of fighting them do work. And communists are a minority group, and they prevail mostly when they can get majority opinion on their side, which is what they did in the Vietnam War.
All right. Appreciate the heads up there, Mike. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. Well, it might work schedule. You had kind of mentioned some of these subjects 2-3 weeks ago, and I wanted to call in, but it's just a place that I can listen, but I can't always talk, so this is not one day. But I would highly recommend that, acquire that book. It was just recently written here in 2018 by Max Boot, called The Road Not Taken. And, you know, you mentioned the
spell the author's last name. Spell the author's last name.
B-O-O-T, like a pair of boots. Boot, Max Boot.
Okay, I got it. Got it. Okay. Appreciate the call, Mike. Thanks, sir.
Hey,
well, Jeff, we are out of time, sir. Thank you for taking an hour out of your holiday to be with us.
All right. Well, thank you, John. Sure. See you next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks, sir. That's it for the day. Medical supplies, energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please do a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless America.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.